On Wednesday evening, despite the fact that Lee was on holiday, we had him speak at the prayer meeting, and he spoke to us about the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus, especially in intercession, the Lord Jesus ever living to make intercession for his people. And as he was speaking, I was greatly challenged, and my mind went back to the second message I ever preached in this congregation, and that was before it became Toronto Free Presbyterian Church. It was way back in January the 25th, 1976. And the first message I brought to that time was building the church, and we have been involved in that ministry over this past 31 years. And then I was thinking there of Philemon. And I'd like you to turn to the book of Philemon, because that was the message that I brought on the Sunday evening. And this has been one that has been a tremendous encouragement to me, because it has some wonderful pictures. So I'd like you to turn to Philemon, and we'll read that short book together. You'll find it just before Hebrews. Philemon, and watch it carefully, and see if you can see the message and the picture that is shown so clearly in this part of the Lord's Word. Philemon, reading at verse number 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, now she may have been the wife of Philemon, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels or the souls of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels or my own soul, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers, The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And may the Lord bless our hearts this reading from His own infallible and inspired Word. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for the Word of the living God. And sometimes, Lord, we approach Thy Word like one of old with our eyes holden, so we cannot see the beauty and the wonder of the message that Thou dost have in Thy Word. This morning we pray that Thou would take the scales off our eyes, that we may be able to behold that which is wonderful in the law of God. And especially our prayer would be, sirs, we would see Jesus. And today, our Father, we pray that Thou would speak to every person. Lord, encourage Thy people. May they understand again what the Lord has done for our souls. And Lord, for those who know not the Lord, we pray that even today they will be drawn by the Spirit of God unto Christ and saved by His precious blood. To this end, we pray that Thou would speak by the power of the Holy Spirit and refresh every soul and grant that none shall leave this place untouched by the hand of the Master. Hear this, our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many, many years ago, when I was just a young Christian, and we had a young people's fellowship meeting in a barn in Northern Ireland, I was asked, would I bring the reading at a particular meeting? And I thought, well, I'll pick something short that would be equivalent and appropriate for the reading. So I chose the short epistle of Philemon without really studying it very much myself. And so I'm reading down this here, and I'm reading this story about how Paul is making intercession on behalf of this young man, Onesimus. And I'm thinking as I'm reading, this here is not going to be much good or much blessing to the people who are gathered there. And my friend, I made a serious mistake in even having that thought, because this little book here, very often neglected because of its size and because of the following mighty epistle to the Hebrews, very often neglected. And yet this little epistle is one that is filled, crammed full of tremendous teaching and blessing that we should not miss. Now, there are three portraits here. First of all, there is the portrait of Philemon. The only time it's mentioned in this book, he was a man of Colossae in Asia Minor, obviously a man of considerable wealth, but he was a Christian, and he held a church in his own house. And so you have him as a picture to us, and he is the picture to me of the second mile Christian. Because Paul came and asked them for something. They're asking him to go the second mile. And Paul says in verse 21, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. What a blessing it is when you have Christians like that who do more than they're asked of. And we had that in this past week in our vacation Bible school, where Christians took time out and did more than was asked of them to reach the boys and girls with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Then the second person, the second picture, is of this young man, Onesimus. Onesimus was the slave of Philemon, and he obviously had done something wrong. And he ran away from Colossae to Rome, which is some 1,000 miles away. But when he was there, somehow he met the Apostle Paul, and he heard the gospel, and Onesimus was converted by the grace of God. And so Onesimus, if you studied him, he's a wonderful picture of the redeemed sinner. And then the third picture is Paul himself. The epistle starts off with Paul's address, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So Paul is the third picture, and he is a prisoner in Rome. And he is the one who takes the hand of Onesimus, and the hand, as it were, of Philemon, 1,000 miles away, and brings them together in a reconciliation. That is a tremendous example of the grace of God in the lives of people. And Paul, he acted as the mediator between Onesimus and his master Philemon in Colossae. And then in the background, you've got the greatest picture of all. But before we get to that, I have to have a look at Onesimus first of all to understand the background. Now, he was a slave, as we're told. Philemon obviously was a good master. He was a man who was saved by the grace of God and a good master. And Onesimus, his problem was he did not live up to his name. The name Onesimus means profitable. And you'll find that Paul gives a play on the words in verse number 11 when he says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. So Paul is using the name of this young man as an illustration. And this young man, he did not live up to his name. At a time in his life, he was most unprofitable. And as such, Onesimus is a picture of every sinner, because there was a time in our lives when we were most unprofitable and sometimes did not live up to the name. Many people, if you ask them, sir, are you a Christian? Certainly I'm a Christian. I was born in a Christian country. I attend a Christian school. I attend a Christian church. Certainly I am a Christian. But then you look at the life and you ask, well, does your life match the life of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? And very often you find the language and the behavior of that person is far from being Christian. So the unsaved very often do not live up to the name that they have espoused. There's something more about him. It is obvious that he robbed his master, because in verse 18, Paul says, if he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. So it seems that Onesimus stole from Philemon perhaps enough money to get himself from Colossae in Asia Minor all the 1,000 miles. Now, in our day, that's not difficult, but in those days, that was a very difficult journey. And so he may have stolen the wherewithal to make that journey to Rome and to have some money as well left by. And so he robbed his master. And there's a question that comes up in the book of Malachi. Will a man rob God? And the answer is, ye have robbed me. Because God speaks about people who have robbed him in tithes and offerings and so on. But not only that, we rob the Lord by taking our lives to ourselves and our souls to ourselves. These are things that belong to God. And yet we have taken out our life and our soul and we use it for our purposes and we think nothing of the glory of the Lord. And so every one of us, in a sense, is a robber. We have robbed God. And then, the third thing about Onesimus is that he ran away from home. Now, it's obvious in Colossae he lived in a good home. In Colossae, he had all that he needed. He had food and he had plenty of things there. But he ran away. It was not because of Philemon that he ran away. It was because of his sin that he ran away. And so he went away the 1,000 miles to Rome. And the communion between him and Philemon was broken at that time. And he went away. And you think of Adam and Eve. They were in that perfect environment in the Garden of Eden. And the Lord gave them everything that they needed. Gave them a command not to touch the forbidden fruit. But they did touch it. And that broke the communion that they had with God. They were driven from the garden. And the curse of God came upon the world and upon all of humanity. Sin breaks communion. And friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the communion between you and God is broken until somehow you're reconciled to God, and that can only happen by the work of the great mediator, the Lord Jesus. Now this young man, he ran away, and of course he went to Rome, about 1,000 miles west of where he lived. The historian Sallust said that Rome at that time was the common cesspool of the world. It was a place of iniquity. And this young man could have had a pleasant life in the home of Philemon in Colossae, but he gave all of that up, and he went away to Rome to live in the squalor of Rome, and we're told that the runaway slave, was the lowest strata of society over there, and this young man, he gave up all, and he lost all because of his sin. Maybe there's somebody here today, and you have given up all that you could have in the Lord because of some sin that you are pandering to. But somehow in Rome, Onesimus found and met the Apostle Paul. And when he met him, Paul no doubt ministered the word of the Lord to him, and he was saved by the grace of God. And what a wonderful blessing that is, because the Lord actually saves sinners. Here's a young man who was a sinner. Here's a young man, the lowest level of society, and the Lord saved him. And my friend, thank God today, he can save every individual in this building. None are beyond the pale of the mercy of the Lord our God. But there's one thing still not right. And that is that, all right, Onesimus over here in Rome, he has come to know the Lord Jesus. His master is over in Colossae, 1,000 miles away, but they have not been reconciled. And so that's what this whole epistle's about, because this is a personal letter that Paul wrote to Philemon. He has written letters to Timothy and to Titus and so on. Most of his other epistles, they are to churches, but even the ones to Timothy and Titus, they have to do with church doctrine and church life. But here is a window into the life of the Apostle Paul, and we're shown here how he sent this personal letter so that he could have these two reconciled. And there is a lesson to be learned, and that is, if you have wronged people, and you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it is incumbent upon you as much as you can to go back down and correct the wrong. And it should be done. Because if it's not done and can be done, then it's hanging against you and it should be put right. Anyhow, Onesimus came to know the Lord. And when you turn over to Colossians in chapter 4, we discover that Tychicus is going to take the letter of the Colossians to them, and he commends him as a beloved brother and a faithful minister. And then in verse 9 of chapter 4, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here in Rome. And so Onesimus now is a beloved brother saved by the grace of God. But now I want to look at the matter. How did Philemon and Onesimus be reconciled? They were reconciled through the office of a mediator who was the Apostle Paul. Now I don't know whether you have seen some of these sort of modern pictures. They more or less have disappeared recently, I think. I haven't seen them recently, but a few years ago they're all the rage. And that was a big picture that looked like very intricate wallpaper. And you looked at it and you say, well, why would anybody put that on the wall? And then they tell you, look at it. And you look at it, and you look at it, and you look at it. And all of a sudden, out of that picture, you'd see a three-dimensional picture of maybe a bear, a couple of eagles, a deer or something, in three dimensions. And you look at it, you'd be amazed. And once you saw it, then you could go back and see it again and again. But there are some people, including one person who was here this morning, who gazed and gazed and nearly damaged his eyes gazing, could never see it. And my friend, that's what you have here. You have a picture here in the background, and we need to have the help of the Holy Spirit to illumine our eyes and our minds that we may see that picture. And that picture comes to us through Paul. Paul is the mediator, and Paul is the picture of the greatest mediator, the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So when you're reading Philemon, don't miss the picture of the Lord Jesus, because if you miss that, you've missed the whole story that is given to us here in the Word of the Lord. And so let's look at this, and look at first of all Paul the mediator, and then from that see the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now first of all, we consider Paul's position. Paul was in the unique position, and probably the only man in the whole city of Rome who knew both Onesimus and Philemon. And so he was in a unique position. And in verse 17, he says, "If thou, Philemon, count me therefore a partner." So he sees himself as a partner of Philemon. And in verse 14, he says, "Without thy mind would I do nothing." So here is a man who knew both of these people and is probably the only man in the world who could take the hand of one, the hand of the other, and bring them together in reconciliation. He was in a unique position. Now, Jesus Christ is the mediator who is in the unique position of reconciling sinners unto God. I cannot reconcile you to God. I'd like to be able to do, but I can't do it. Neither can any minister or pastor or priest reconcile you to God. Neither can our church or any other church reconcile you to God, because it's a matter between you and God. In this case here, it was a matter between Onesimus and Philemon. And the only one who could reconcile the two was the Apostle Paul. And between the sinner and God, there's a great gulf. And it's only Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and men, that can bring us together again. And so Paul is a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ, who was in the unique position of not only being man, but also being God. And so he's able to take the hand on earth and the hand in heaven and bring the two together. And the Bible tells us there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Then the second thing that we need to consider about Paul, and that is his condescension. Paul did not really need to worry about Onesimus. He had enough problems of his own. He was in jail. He was chained there to a Roman soldier in a dungeon, and he had got his own problems. But somehow, as the Romans allowed people to come in and speak to Paul, Onesimus came. But Paul didn't need to really bother about him, because only a slave. Very many important people in the city of Rome that he could have taken this time to look after. Why bother about a slave? And you'll find that the Apostle Paul was very concerned about this young man, this runaway slave. And likewise with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who does not respect persons. Because it doesn't matter whether you're a sovereign or a slave, Jesus Christ is the one who can save. And the Bible tells us, "He who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich unto God." Now you look at the language here. In verse number 1, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer." So he's speaking here about Philemon, who was a rich man in Colossae. And he calls him dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Then down there you'll find also in verse number 7, he says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, Philemon, because the bowels or the souls of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." So he uses this language, dearly beloved and brother and fellow laborer. And so, okay, that's for a rich man. But then you compare the language in verse 16, because he says, regarding Onesimus receive him, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. And then also in verse number 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, who I have begotten in my bonds. So now you find that Paul uses the very same language for the slave as he does for its master in Colossae. So you get a picture there of the fact that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. And the sovereign and the slave are alike to him. And today it doesn't matter what your social standing is. Jesus Christ can save. And he is the only one who can reconcile you to God. You can try by all other means. You can try going to church, singing hymns, singing the Sunday school and the choir and so on. You can do all those things. But that will not reconcile you to God. It takes the ministry of the Lord Jesus, who can take the two hands and bring them together in saving reconciliation. Now, the third thing about Paul we have to consider is his request. Because that's why this epistle was written. It's a letter to ask a favor of Philemon. And he comes along and he makes a great request. A very, very great request for this sinning slave. In verse number 10, he calls Onesimus, my son. So that there is an amazing thing that Paul would take that position. And then in verse number 12, he says to Philemon, who was wronged by his slave, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. So he's saying, Philemon, Onesimus is my son in the gospel. I want you to receive him. But then he asks for even more. Because down there in verse number 16, he says, I want you to receive him, not now as a servant. That's the way he left. He left as a slave and a servant. And he ran away because he stole. I want you to receive him, not now as a servant, but above a servant. This is a very great request that Paul is making, because really, in verse number 21, it says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. So what's he doing? He's asking Philemon, here's this sinning slave. He's come to the Lord. Now, I want you to take him back into your household. But I don't want you to take him back as a slave or a servant. I want you to take him back as he is my son in the gospel. I want you to receive him. I want you to make him above a servant. I want you to make him a free man. So in the economy of those days, this is a very, very great request that Paul is making. And then he goes even further, because in verse 17, he says, Philemon, if thou count me, Paul, therefore a partner, receive him, Onesimus, as myself. So what he's saying is, Philemon, when this young man comes to your door, and he has in his hand a letter from me, I want you to receive him just as if it was I, the Apostle Paul, who was standing at your door and knocking at your door for admittance. So this is a very, very great request that Paul made. But then behind that, you've got this great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord comes to intercede, to mediate for you and for me. And he comes along, not now to Philemon, but to God the Father. And he comes to make request. And he comes to God the Father and his Father. I want you to receive this one as my son in the gospel. And you think of the amazing grace of God that would take you and me And we look back in our lives and think of the sins that we have committed and how unholy we were. And now God the Son is coming to intercede and to mediate with His Father. And He's saying, receive Him as my Son. What He's saying, I want you to receive Him, Father, not as a servant, but as a free man. And the Bible tells us, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And then you come to the marvelous, marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ when you see that pictured here is the Apostle Paul coming and saying to Philemon, when you receive him as if it were myself. And then you look at the big picture. And you see the Lord Jesus coming to His Heavenly Father. Look, I've found this soul. I've saved this soul by the shedding of my precious blood. Father, receive him. Receive him as my Son. Receive him, He says, as if it was I, your only begotten Son, who's standing wanting admittance to heaven. And you look there at the marvelous grace of the Lord our God. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said, I pray for them. And that's what Lee was bringing out on Wednesday night at the prayer meeting, how that Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for His people. Then you go a little further and you find the provision that Paul made, because you ask the question, how could Paul make a request of Philemon, 1,000 miles away? How could he make a request to take this young man back again when this young man had sinned against him? How can he do it? Well, you discover that Paul made provision, because in verse 18, he says, Philemon, if he, Onesimus, hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught. It's obvious from Paul's contact the young man and knew was a problem. He had stolen from his master. If he has wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. And now you look at the big picture in the background, and you've got the Lord Jesus Christ coming to God the Father and saying, Father, if this one has wronged thee or oweth thee aught, and we're all in debt to God because of our sin and our iniquity, He says, if they have wronged thee, and they have, He says, put that on mine account. And thank God the old account was settled long ago, because the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross was in effect saying to God the Father, put the sins of my redeemed people on my account. And you'll see more about that tonight as we study the doctrine of particular redemption. So the Lord Jesus Christ took that account, and it was settled at the cross long ago. But then Paul made a promise, because in verse 19 he says, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. Now Paul didn't often write his epistles. They were written by somebody else at his dictation under the Holy Ghost. And the thought is that Paul had an eye problem. It may have gone back to when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus and the bright light was there. But the Galatians, they said that they would gladly pluck out their eyes for him. So it seems that Paul had a situation where his eyesight was not very good. But here is an epistle that's different, because this one was written by Paul himself. It says down the bottom there, written by Onesimus, but I believe this was written by Paul himself, because he says, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. And he speaks also of a large letter. And that is because with his failing eyesight, he had to make big letters. So here he makes a promise. He says, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. And by sending this letter to Philemon, he is sending with Onesimus a blank check to cover whatever sin, whatever debt he had to Philemon. And Maya doesn't take a great stretch of the imagination to see the Lord Jesus Christ saying, I have written it with mine own hand. I will repay their debt. And repaid that debt not with drops of ink from a pen, a human pen, but with drops of precious blood that were shed abroad at the cross. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he paid it all, not in drops of ink, but in drops of precious blood. And today we should thank the Lord that our sins, though many, are blotted out. And then it says there in verse 21, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. And so Paul is coming to Philemon in full confidence that this letter of intercession, this letter of mediation, that it will receive a favorable response from Philemon, and the young man will be received back into the home. And one of the early fathers confirms that the thought that he actually did come back and was received by Philemon. But we do know whether or not Onesimus was received. We know that when Jesus Christ comes to his heavenly Father to intercede on your behalf and on my behalf, he does so on the merits of his precious blood. And when he says to the Father, I know that thou wilt do also more than I say, he knows that God the Father will not only receive the redeemed sinner whose sins are blotted out in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, but will do far more, because he does exceeding abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. Nice little line there in verse number 15. For perhaps he, Onesimus, therefore, departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. In every one of us as sinners, we are departed from God. But then the Lord brings us back, inexorably by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are brought back forever and forever and forever. And sometimes we're concerned about some of our unsaved loved ones. We wonder why it is that they have been allowed to wander astray. And sometimes God allows that to give them a real sickener, to sicken them of sin. And I know it a couple of times in my life, the Lord really sickened me. The stage where I was sickened completely with myself and my lifestyle, and I realized there's much more. And I remember going out to the movies as a young teenager with my friend. Never forgotten it. The movie was called Jennifer. I've never heard of it since, and much surprised. We went along to this picture house and we saw this movie called Jennifer. And it was a dog. It was the worst thing I'd ever seen. But what it did do, we went back up in the car and sat outside my friend's house and we chatted. And the upshot was, is this all there is to life? Is that what the main meaning of life is? You go and you watch a Hollywood movie like that there that was just so awful, it was beyond description. It wasn't so much that it was awful in terms of sin. It was just awful. Awful. I thought, is that all there is to life? And then a friend of mine in my previous church who had a serious drink problem, he came to the Lord. And I asked him, I says, Willie, what happens when you have drunk to your capacity in the public house and you can't drink anymore? He said, I go to the washroom, put my fingers down my throat and vomit and go back to drinking again. I thought, this is life. And that's what he was doing until he came to know the Lord. And so there's many people, they're doing these things here and they are just spoiling their lives. And sometimes the Lord lets them go a little bit so they get a real sickener. And then he comes in and tells them to call upon the name of the Lord, lets them go, and then receives them back in reconciliation and in salvation, receives them forever and forever. Onesimus had to retrace the steps to the master's house. I wonder today, are you ready to retrace your steps and come to the master's house, to the Lord Jesus, and to trust him as your Savior? And thank God he will mediate the reconciliation between you, the sinner, and God, the holy God. Take your two hands together, join them in eternal reconciliation, and so you'll know that you're going to heaven, and you can comfort yourself knowing that forever with the Lord it will be Amen. So let it be. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful picture in the Word of the Lord that's so often missed by those who read. Our Father, we pray that Thou would give us eyes and hearts to see and to understand the wonder of Thy Word. Surely, Lord, Thou dost show us wonderful things from out of the law of God. And Father, we praise Thee for everyone here already reconciled to God by the death of the Son, and the Mediator mediated our cause and our course, and brought us savingly to Christ, and reconciled us to the Father. And Father, for those who are still not saved, and still wandering out, O God, we pray that Thou would bring them to an end of themselves, that they would cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" O God, make men and women weep until born anew. O God, save some precious soul this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.